B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in to Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynn, Sam Wilson on the updates for you. Very simple Twitter poll, as per usual on a football Friday, and it's just an easy one. Are the Eagles going to win on Sunday? That's it. But I just want to, real quick, I just, everybody, when you get outside today, when you get into your car, maybe that's where you are right now, just acknowledge for a second, at least this is what it was in the city. I open my front door, I step out, and like a slap in the face, a beautiful slap in the face, you could smell football season. Like, it was like, you open the door, and it was like that fall smell, aroma, atmosphere, just bang, hits right in the face, Trey.
I call it good fat guy weather.
Amazing.
Hoodie weather?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, why is Sam doing the thumbs down? What's wrong with that? I thought the ladies love the fall weather. I thought you guys are all about your
spice. Get my Uggs and my pumpkin spice latte and my yoga pants.
No, so I do love that when I'm prepared for it, but I literally went outside to walk Nelly this morning, and it just hit me, and I was in shorts and a t-shirt, and I was like, oh my God, this is freezing. Nelly, hurry up. I couldn't do it.
This was freezing. Freezing,
yes.
Sam.
Freezing.
It's beautiful.
I was also
out.
Barefoot because I had to put my flip-flop in the door, but... Yeah.
Huh. That could be a problem.
Wow, how about that? But no, you got that vibe when you open up the door. I mean, I can't speak for what it was like in the country of South Jersey, but Bob, was it like that over there? It was perfect.
Perfection. Yes. You walk out, you get the little chill. I got the long sleeve shirt on today. This is football weather. Football weather to me is shorts and long sleeve shirts.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I like it like that.
I opened it. It just felt like football. And we're in week two, so it's still early in the season, obviously, and we're in football season, whatever. But it's just to have that feeling when you open the door after listening to all the things I listened to yesterday when it came to the Eagles, went back, listened to some press conferences throughout the week, went into the locker room and talked to some of the guys, and you just got a feeling that this team is going to do something special on Sunday. And I've been saying that throughout the week, where there has been this kind of vibe throughout, I don't know, Eagle fandom that, oh no, we can't have a juggernaut team. Well, I don't know what it is, but we don't deserve some kind of juggernaut team, whatever it might be. But I really feel that this season, as I've been saying even throughout the preseason, is going to be a juggernaut type team. And they're going to put up points against this Atlanta Falcons defense. They're going to be able to run the ball, but the highlight, as per usual, is going to be able to throw the ball downfield. And it is going to be a shootout, and the Eagles are going to win. And I'm giving you the end of the movie before the end of the movie, but that's how I feel about this game. That's how I've been feeling all throughout the week. But one of the question marks has been on that Eagles defensive line, because now there's some shuffling that has to happen. Without Malik Jackson, Tim Jernigan is most likely, you know, he is going to take over a lot more of that bigger role. He is going to be a starter on this team with Fletcher Cox playing next to him. You're going to have Akeem Spence probably get some reps, as well as Hassan Ridgeway at the defensive tackle position. But the interesting thing here is that, as Hugh Douglas reminded us earlier in the week, Tim Jernigan, as we all remember, the Super Bowl year, was a starter on this defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Did a hell of a job before he ended up having some off-season back issues, and then missed a lot of time, was able to come back later in the season last year. But this is a guy that wants that responsibility, not just to play, but also get after the quarterback a little bit. And it seemed like that was the theme in the media scrum, if you will, yesterday, in front of Tim Jernigan, in front of Stud Muffin himself.
Did anybody call him Stud Muffin?
Not one person.
That's a shame.
But another.
Did he refer to himself as Stud Muffin?
In the third person? No,
no
he did
no,
not.
I didn't. Okay.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on.
Excuse me, Mr. Stud Muffin?
Stud Muffin, fellas, sir.
Mr. Muffin.
Now, remember, I don't know if I can even call him Stud Muffin to his face anymore, because he denied it vehemently to me. That wasn't his name. And I'm like, guess what? You ain't fooling me, none. You're Stud Muffin.
He rapped about it.
It's in a song, all right? If it's in a song, then we know it's true. Mm. But he basically was asked a lot about, and this was the theme of that media scrum, he was asked about whether or not he is looking forward to that opportunity to get after the quarterback. He had a sack last week against Washington, so he likes to get after that quarterback. But it hasn't been something he's been able to do as an Eagle, because Fletcher Cox has mostly gotten that kind of attention. So when he has opportunities to get into that backfield and get a sack, he wants to just show basically the entire realm of talent that he has. The wheel of talent that Tim Jernigan has, the arsenal that he has, the versatility that he has, that's what he wants to be able to do against a guy like Matt Ryan. And how many times was Matt Ryan sacked last Sunday?
Four.
Four times?
Yeah.
I think Timmy's going to get his.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, you know, he definitely has the talent, especially if they're running the games the way they ran that game last week with the TE where he got a sack. It was perfectly ran. Vinnie Curry did exactly what he was supposed to do by rushing upfield a little bit, giving the tackle time, giving him time to work from the one technique and getting on the inside hip of the tackle and ricocheting off, and then, bam, there you go to sack. But I think that he's definitely going to get a chance to do it because this is offensive line that struggles a little bit. But I think also, too, what they're going to do with you're missing Malik Jackson. I think you're going to see a little bit more BG bumping down inside. You might see Deshaun Hall probably getting mixed into this mix a little bit. You might see even Curry moving down to the three technique, making more of that little NASCAR package to get after the quarterback.
And Trey talked about earlier, or you might have said it last week, that in order to get sacks, you got to cover better.
Yeah.
And the coaches agreed with you. So I'm anxious to see where the corners are going to line up to begin the game. Are they going to be in that back 5 yards, give up something early, which doesn't help the defensive line at all? I'm anxious to see if they're going to be up. And then they're going to press a little bit to give the defensive line a little bit more pressure to get to them, like Trey talked about.
Well, I think also, too, one of the things that you could do to kind of help out with, yeah, you press down a little bit more, but I think that also you start playing some games with the safeties. You saw one of Ryan's first interceptions was because this how the safety baited him, where he came down on the line of scrimmage, made it seem like he was going to play run, then he dropped back into the zone and was right underneath Julio Jones and picked it off. So I think when you start playing around like that and baiting Ryan into making feeling like, you know what, I can go to Julio now. Oh, no, there's some underneath coverage. Bam, there you go, interception.
Well, the thing that keeps on repeating and repeating and repeating in my head is that I don't want to get carried away with their passing attack. I do think it's going to be a high-scoring game, so that implies they're going to be airing it out a little bit, right? But when it comes to how the offensive line played in the start of the second half, this is the drive that I feel like I've referenced the most throughout the week. When they ran the ball down Washington's throat, that is something that they'll be able to do against a team like the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the Falcons, though, are going to be coming off of week one where they got the ball ran down their throat against the Vikings. So they're going to want to respond. They're going to want to do something to counterbalance that to improve on their running game, right? So that's where the Eagles can maybe start out fast. Maybe that's where they throw it down the field. But the other side of that would be, what if they try to take advantage of that same weakness from the previous week?
That's funny you say that, because I look at the other team's defense, and I wanted to ask you guys today, if you're a pick-your-poison type of defense against the Eagles, what's your poison?
I want them to run the ball.
Exactly. I guess.
Because I feel as if if they're running the football, I feel as if I can beat them over the top. I can beat them offensively. I can get on the board quick by being able to beat their defense, by throwing over the corners and the safeties and all that.
Trey, you same?
Yeah. I think if we can run the ball, we run the ball.
So do you think, then this is what I wanted to break down today, because we've gone through all the trenches with you. Well, we'll get into some more stuff today. But the other thing is, when we look at how they came out in the third quarter, and this is one of the numbers I've been looking at, the 13-play drive, where they ran the ball, 12-play drive, where they ran the ball 9 times. Mm-hmm. One was a quarterback sneak, but they ran the ball 9 times. They moved up the field like Washington wasn't even there. And then they capped it off with a touchdown pass to Alshon Jeffrey. If this does turn into a shootout, where maybe Jim Schwartz just can't dial up the right defense to stop the offense of the Falcons, right? Do they try to control the game and the pace of play by running the football? Do they try to keep their defense off the field and really at the same time keep Matt Ryan off the field and Calvin Ridley and really what is the strong suit of the Falcons? Do they try to keep them off the field by controlling the clock throughout this game?
Yeah, I think so. You know, especially with a team that seems like they can't stop the run. You know, you go out there and you pound the ball right down their throat. I mean, you go back and you look at Minnesota. How many? 48 plays. They only had 10 pass plays. Now, that's not going to happen. You know, with Doug and Mike Groh, you know, and having Carson Wentz back there at quarterback, because they like to see the balls in the air. You're going to throw the ball, especially having a receiver like DeSean Jackson. But, you know, I think they're going to, of course you want to run the ball, because that helps manages the clock, helps you stay ahead of the downs. If you can go out there, you take all the pressure off of Carson, you know, make it a more balanced attack. But you know, if you can do it, let's do it. It helps you sustain drives as well. And then the more we can keep Atlanta off the on the sideline and Ryan with his helmet in his hand, the better off we are.
Man, Mark, the third quarter that you referenced the other day about how good it was, the Eagles had the ball for 12 minutes to the Redskins 3. And, you know, and this was what I was saying. So the Redskins had 8 plays. They had 2 penalties that were killers. They had a wide open guy on a bomb that was overthrown. On the next pass, they would have had a first down, perfect pass, a little slant. It was dropped. You know, they just shot themselves in the foot. But they only had 8 plays. So I totally think that you're onto it. That's what I think the Eagles have to do. They have to control the football because until this defense, and look, it's only one game, and I'm not overreacting, but I think that might be your best defense right now is to hold on to the ball.
Is to not give the ball to their offense.
Yeah.
Your best defense right now is a strong
offense. Your offense. Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
That's the way I think you can look at it in this game. However, I just can't help it. I feel like they're going to want to just let it loose on offense.
Of course.
I feel like the tendency might be there if it does develop. It. I think let's put it this way. The Eagles will start out this game, I believe, throwing the football.
I think you could say that. That's like an evergreen statement. I feel like that's going to be every week.
But what I'm saying is, even against a team that is offensively talented like the Falcons are, that has a quick score type of offense, right? And they faced a pretty good defense in the Vikings in the first week of the season. But in a team like the Falcons that have that kind of firepower, you would think counterbalance to that if your secondary struggled in week one. Slow it down a little bit. But then you're telling Doug Peterson to be like, hey, you know how we got DeSean Jackson?
Yeah.
Let's not use him for a minute.
I don't think Doug has a slow it down mentality.
No. Well, see, here's the thing. If Chip had that thing with that slow it down mentality, because remember they killed like 9 minutes and 30 seconds in Green Bay.
He's a heck of a football guy.
With one drive. I think Doug, especially if the defense starts to get burned, they'll try to get that score, get up, and then I think start controlling the pace of the play.
Yeah, but not right out the gate.
Right out the gate.
Oh, look at that. Look at that ball fly. You see how it just spirals? I just love to see the ball fly.
Oh, look at it fly past that halo scoreboard in the ceiling.
So beautiful. Oh, my God. Look at that ball in the air.
I can see Doug going into a meeting. All right, guys, we're really going to concentrate on the run this week. And everybody just starts laughing. Yeah, all that's right. A good one, coach.
Let's go get some ice cream. Come on, guys. I was just kidding.
Meeting adjourned.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Jordan Howard's like, yo, what the hell, man?
Don't forget me.
Can I get some touches this week? Hey. What the hell, man? I feel like the best defense as the game goes on, if the Eagles are able to get a turnover, whatever it is, and already up some points, that's when I think they start going more into controlling the pace of the play.
Yeah, you get up by a couple scores. Yeah, then you start, all right, we're going to pound the ball. Still going to be some passes mixed in there.
But are they going to be that intimidated by their own defense? Like, look, it's week one, but these are all the same guys we watched last year. These are all the same guys we've watched for the last couple of years, all right? Mm-hmm. Sidney Jones and Avante Maddox, you hope, are young guys that take some major steps forward. Obviously, Jalen Mills is still on the mend, and Ronald Darby had his struggles in week one. Rasul Douglas, and if I didn't mention him already, he's a guy that needs to get out there and play a little bit more physical, make sure he stays on his man just in regular coverage. But when you're looking at those guys, we know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping that there's more potential than what we've seen with Avante Maddox and Sidney Jones, most notably. But we know what they are right now. We know their skill set going into this week. If they continue to get burnt deep, that's where you have to default to your running game again. Mm-hmm. Especially if you, on your offense, if you're getting out maybe by a score or two, that's where you start to downshift, I think, into trying to control that football and not let your defense on the field if they are getting beat that much. And that's nothing we haven't seen before. I mean, I remember games straight with you guys playing against the Colts, for instance, and Peyton Manning. And I remember the run game actually was established early. And I remember on defense, it was like Jim Johnson was just like, well, the hell with it. We ain't letting Peyton Manning beat us. And that's when you started seeing like Joseph Addai running up the middle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
wow.
How about that name?
Bust out name. I like that.
I was thinking about this last night a lot, and I came up with Joseph Addai. But yeah, when those guys were running up the middle against you, trying to offset their offense with your own offense by being able to control the football and keeping corners that might be getting beat by Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, and maybe even their tight end, Austin Hooper. Guys that are getting beat off the ball like those guys. Getting beat off the ball like a guy like Rasul Douglas.
Yeah, you know, and now the secondary is going to have to man up. I mean, you know, you go back into this game, you go back. Now, this is a game that they should learn from, like from going up against Washington, because you didn't go up against the same caliber receivers that you're going up against this week. So this is going to be another test. And each week you're going to get tested by another group of guys. But what did you learn from last week? How are you going to control it? All right, here we go. Better coverage will get that defensive line time. You have some monsters up front that can get there. Give the guys a chance. You can't let them just deacon dunk you down the field. So now, all right, let's play a little bit tighter coverage. Let's get some sacks.
We mentioned the numbers in his career, Julio Jones against the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. We got some numbers that we're going to get into over the last couple of games. Not career, but just the last couple of games against the Eagles. We'll get into those a little bit later. But one of the things that did jump out regarding, again, Stud Muffin himself, Tim Jernigan, and trying to show that whole array of talent that he has. The other thing that came out was apparently that dance has a name.
What
now, if you didn't see it, I believe it was Dave Zingaro of NBC Sports Philadelphia that put out a GIF of Tim Jernigan in the game on Sunday against the Skins. He got his sack celebration dance interrupted.
Oh.
Because the Skins were in hurry.
Hilarious.
Up.
Those Florida State guys, man, always dancing.
Hey, man. Hey. You got to celebrate, man.
I worked hard to get here. I celebrated.
Yeah, right. And the way he got there, yeah, you got to get me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Call a timeout. Let me dance.
But he got his sack dance interrupted.
So funny.
Realized it was because he realized that they were in hurry up.
Yeah.
And he started dancing and he was like, oh, damn. And
I
was
Petty football play.
Yeah, exactly. And he runs back to the line of scrimmage and he completed the dance. In step, in beat, like nothing ever happened.
I think I saw Dave Zingaro post it first yesterday. I was dying.
That's where I saw it as well. So Tim Jernigan gets asked, Stud Muffin gets asked about it, and he was just like, oh, yeah, no, you know, this stuff happens. And then I think it was Rob Kestner of NBC 10 that asked him, well, you know, Jim Schwartz called that the Timmy shimmy, I believe it was.
Timmy shimmy?
The Timmy shimmy.
Hmm. Huh. Yeah.
So will Stud Muffin be doing the Timmy shimmy coming up on Sunday over Matt Ryan?
Yes.
I'm saying he gets at least one.
At least one.
I'm saying he gets at least one.
Yeah.
If they're watching what you were watching, and who is it? Matthews has tells on their offensive line.
Yeah.
Oh, come get it. Come ring that dinner bell.
Yeah. Man, they should destroy this team.
And let me ask you this, Trey.
Destroy this team?
Whoa. Yeah.
I was going to ask you, do you see the Eagles offense being able to do whatever they want?
I don't know. Maybe the player in me right there just spoke out.
Trey thought he was going to slip that in, and all of a sudden we went silent.
We're all like, whoa.
My bad, I forgot where I was. Yeah,
who do you think you are, Jack McCaffrey? Right, tell us Deshaun Jackson's the greatest football player ever?
Spoke out right then, I'm sorry. But say what now? Where were you?
Trey, what can't you do?
Nothing.
Yeah, to destroy this team.
Yeah.
All right. How much? Now, I'm not going to ask your final score, but do you feel like the Eagles will take control of this game at some point?
Yes.
Before the fourth quarter?
Right out the gate.
Yeah.
Set the tone.
All right. And now, finish. Hold on. Am I talking to right now analyst Trey Thomas?
No.
Or because that fine winter brisk air, or excuse me, fall brisk air hit you in the face this morning when you opened the door,
yeah.
Am I talking to player Trey Thomas?
You're talking a little bit of both. Mainly player.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, I feel like, when you have a game like last week and you start off slow and all of the mistakes that, when you had your first preseason game, now you know what type of team you are. This is how you should be coming out. The way you came out in that second half, this is how they should come out this week on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you have a team that's kind of down. Atlanta is questioning themselves right now. When you go out there and you only have a team run 48 plays on you, you're questioning yourself as a unit. Like, well, damn, they only ran 48 plays. 38 run plays. That right there just showed, like, you know what? You got big boy. Where they just came out there and just pushed you around. There are major questions on this team. So, all right, what do you do? You got big, bad Philadelphia Eagles coming to town. What are we going to do? If you're getting the Eagles that were started off with Washington, or are you getting the Eagles that finished with Washington? And I'm hoping that we get the finished with Washington squad that's going to come out there and push guys around with that same type of offensive line, the way they went out there and just shoved guys around. And also, too, with a sharp Carson Wentz that's saying, hey, DJ, go get some. I think I like our chances. I love it.
And I thought I was bullish. I thought I was bullish yesterday, being like, why is everyone so worried about this game? Sometimes you're the one who knocks. And that's how I feel about the Eagles.
I feel like a lot of the fan base, I said this to Bob earlier, is terrified of our secondary for some reason.
Well, because of who you're going up against.
For good reason.
Yeah.
But they've, I mean, I hate to say they've owned Julio Jones the last like three games, but he hasn't been a problem.
No,
Jim Schwartz has had his number. For whatever reason, he has figured Julio Jones out to the degree that you can figure Julio Jones out.
He doesn't score.
And that's the point of the game.
Stays out of the offense.
No. Right.
I hear you. Like, I think there's a little too much panic over week one for the secondary. Like, I hear panic in fans' voices.
Calvin Ridley.
I hear you.
Who came on like game busters last year?
Yeah, he's a real deep threat.
All right. They also
Muhammad Sanu is a good player.
Julio Jones, yeah. Muhammad Sanu, right?
And Julio Jones is good at football.
Freeman, like these guys are good at the foosball, my man. Like,
I hear you.
And then you watch Russell. Like, here's the thing: people wanted to step forward. Now, granted, it was the first week of the season; it was the first game of the season. But you see Rasul Douglas get beat the way he did, similar to last year in the early goings. And then you see Sidney Jones get beat deep like he did last year, similarly. So when you watch that and then you think about the opponent you're going up against, especially with the guy throwing it the way Matt Ryan can throw it, I get where some people go, ooh, wow, yeah, this secondary, I don't know, they might be the death of us in Atlanta. And then you think, well, wait a minute. When did their secondary become, like, all Pro Bowlers, right? When did that happen? When did their pass rush just become incredible?
They got to worry about our passing attack.
You know why? Because we're the one who knocks.
Hell yeah.
That's your escape. Your offense is your escape from your defense. So, James, you use the word panic, and I think I lead the group. I'm not panicked, but I am very concerned. I'm concerned that 6-8 weeks in, I think the Eagles are going to be fine this year. I do. But you're going to have concerns in certain areas. I think at some point, I hope this doesn't happen, but I'm concerned that at some point we say, God, why didn't they address the secondary? Why did they think it was okay to go with a bunch of guys that were like rookies or second-year guys last year that you really weren't sure about, and you just assumed they were going to take a step up? Why does Zach Geflin and Nick Pivetta?
Don't do this. Avante Maddox, Sidney Jones are higher caliber, better players than Zach Geflin and Nick Velasquez.
Bob, that was evil.
Your love
that's twisted.
Your love for Sidney Jones is unrivaled.
Yeah, but you said why didn't they do it? It's pretty clear why they didn't do it. Avante Maddox was pretty stellar for a rookie last year. You invested a lot in Sidney Jones. Ronald Darby, you're given the 1 year prove it deal to.
Okay.
And Rasul Douglas is on the last year of a rookie deal. So
everything you said there just said question mark.
I hear you, but I understand why they didn't address it.
I hear you.
I'm not expecting these guys to step up.
And they need to. I agree with you. That's why I made the parallel between that and the Phillies' last three starters. You're expecting them to step up. Right?
Well, yeah, but
we had seen Vince Velasquez for three years.
I would say this, I wasn't expecting them to step up.
I was hoping. Look, the expectations for Eagles are through the roof, and the Phillies, Phillies were high.
Right.
And I'm not being this Debbie Downer guy, but that's what concerns me now. I do have really big concerns about this secondary.
And that's not, that's valid.
Yeah.
But when I balance that,
With the offense.
Right, and that's what we were getting into a lot yesterday and continue to get into today. When I balance that with all the weapons they have and the versatility of, anyone can kill you, that type of thing, I look at the Eagles and I go, well, they could say the same thing in the Atlanta locker room about the Eagles' offense. And I even think the Eagles' offense is far more versatile and far more skilled and talented than that of the Falcons. And if the Eagles can get after the quarterback, if they can get after Matt Ryan, and I was as high on Malik Jackson. You talk about expectations. I had great expectations for Malik Jackson. Now he's gone, right? I think a lot of us were expecting a lot out of Malik Jackson. But you're substituting a starter with a guy who has been a starter for you.
Yeah.
And a guy who last year was coming off a back injury and is now 100% absolutely fully healthy. Guy that had a sack for you last week. A guy that showed you some quickness last week. A guy that showed you he's back. He's ready to go. Tim Jernigan. Stud Muffin himself. So you're going to have that defensive line. Yeah, it takes a hit, but it's still pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And then you have to have those edge rushers step up, and those are the guys that really have to make a big impact in this game, because we all know Jim Schwartz isn't really going to be applying that pressure. But what people are afraid to see going in this game, if there is one thing that people just will throw their arms up and go, we don't have a chance, it's going to be if they see Rasul Douglas lagging behind in coverage, if they see Sidney Jones, they see Avante, God forbid you see Andrew Sendejo miss a tackle the way he did and not bring a guy down like Vernon Davis, who's 35 years old.
That's not going to happen again.
Okay.
That was a fluke of flukes.
The double move that he kind of tripped up on, that he tried to reverse on that route, that hopefully never happens again. Ronald Darby, though, missing the tackle.
There's three guys missed the tackle on one play.
You didn't need to tackle the guy. You just needed to push him out of bounds, basically, is what needed to happen.
So that'll never happen again. And if it does, I'm going to run through a wall and throw something.
But what I'm saying, when the fans are watching this game on Sunday night, the thing that's going to make them flip out more than anything is watching a secondary get beat again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone's afraid of watching.
Newsflash. Julio Jones is going to get his yards. You just got to keep him out of the end zone.
And that's what they've been able to do.
So everybody needs to remain calm when Julio Jones catches a 27-yard ball to the sidelines.
You spread that message.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, everyone calm down.
Yeah.
Minnesota held him to 31.
Yeah? Well, were they getting pressure, Trey?
Oh, yeah. A lot of pressure.
So that's
pressure.
That's a key.
Yeah.
All right. So we got that to get into today. Obviously, we'll let you hear from Tim Jernigan, Stud Muffin. We'll let you hear from Jim Schwartz, who I believe is trying to coin a new phrase for Stud Muffin himself. We'll get into some Carson Wentz details, including the NFL. NFL.com releasing the top 10 quarterbacks after week one. I don't know how they did this, because it's just crazy to me.
Don't tell me Lamar Jackson's like one or two.
I don't think he was, actually.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It was the Dolphins.
He wasn't. Yeah. But that's really what into the what he didn't even make the top 10.
Okay, all right.
Which is also crazy.
He balled.
It's the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I mean, it still happened.
Yeah, it did.
Players of the Dolphins defense, they were leaving the game in the third quarter to get on a bus.
Minka Fitzpatrick's like, get me out of here.
Just go to any other
NFL
city.
I want to get out of this building.
I just want to be out of this building.
Well, we got that to get into. And Bob, I do have some information when it comes to chickens with their heads cut off.
First hand?
Second hand.
All right. Did you do a little farm action when you were a kid?
I did, but not in this way. But, you know, having family members that were recently, I guess, on a lower economic scale, I guess, killing their own meat, as they would say.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that. They're on a high economic scale. Them. But I'm talking about, like, the 1920s. I have a lot of eyewitness accounts, I've heard. Let's say I heard from a source that said. And believe me, it's more gruesome than just the phrase.
The house my parents live in currently, they bought it from a couple, and they had live chickens living in the basement.
Living in the basement?
Yeah.
Huh.
Pretty weird, right?
It's better than a sex swing in the basement.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sex swing sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, sex swing is okay.
Chickens sound weird.
By the way, more updates.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I got more of an update on the ghosts in my house.
Nice.
Yeah. Were they on the swing?
That's why it's still there.
Any previous owner that tried to get rid of it, the ghost's like, yo, dude, I'll haunt the hell out of you. I will
leave me my sex swing.
I'm in the afterlife. It's all I have. 610-632-0975. What's the biggest concern for you going into this game on Sunday? And something else we'll get into today. The Phillies, are they doing it again? You can't say that after they just split, right?
They're doing exactly what they are.
Yeah. 500?
Yep.
610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 6:22.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey! Hey! You gonna sling it?
Hey! Damn good.
Hey! All right, North Dakota kids.
Hey! Gosh, it went great.
Better be ready to sling it, to tell you that much,
back
coming up on Sunday.
Feel me? You gonna sling it?
So apparently, like, my older relatives would raise their own animals and stuff when they first came to over here to America.
This
America place. And yeah, apparently that's true.
When you cut a chicken's head off, it runs around for a little while?
For a little bit. Yeah. Something.
Jumps around.
Trey's like, I can verify. Yeah. It's a crazy, crazy thing. It's a real thing. Yeah. I know you guys were talking about it in the 5 o'clock hour. It's pretty bonkers. Pretty bonkers.
Yeah, I was in the car the other day and somebody, I think Donna said it to me. Oh, you were running around like your chicken with his head cut off. I'm like, really? Do chickens really run around? Because I'm thinking they probably die right away. I know if I got my head cut off, I think I'd die right away.
Not necessarily. The human body, rigor mortis can make stuff move.
Some is that what it is? Rigor mortis?
Makes it move?
Yeah. Wow. It can move. It's possible, even while dead, Bob.
Well, I remember growing up hearing these stories, and when I say growing up, I mean from like the age of 7 on, I would be told these stories about like my great grandparents like taking care of business, basically.
Huh.
And I was like, oh, interesting. And now the family still reflects on this with fondness.
Yeah, good times.
Don't be afraid of don't ask how the sausage is made. I've known for a long time.
So we could use your family members if we go over to Popeye's to get some lunch, because now you have to not only, I went past last night, not only do you have to bring your own rolls, you got to bring your own chicken.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll have to hit up your great grandpa.
Wait a minute. You got to bring your own chicken. Come on, Bobby.
That's what it's coming to, Trey.
That's the world we live in now.
It's coming to that. I went the other day, prime lunchtime, Saturday, 1:30. No sandwiches available. Big sign on the drive-thru.
Go and get you a spicy 3-piece.
I wanted to. No, I can't. No. I wanted a sandwich.
I know. You're late to the game.
But you know who does? Knows who to have those? That Brandon Graham character.
Oh, yeah.
So I did a little research yesterday, and I have those numbers for you, as I promise you, with Julio Jones against the Eagles over the last couple of games. I did a little research yesterday, and I looked up some stuff about Akeem Spence. And sure enough, he was mic'd up, just like our boy Brandon Graham, and we played a couple of times yesterday. You know what Akeem Spence likes to say when he's on the football field?
What's that?
He go, let's go eat.
Okay, yeah.
Like Hunter Pence.
I was going to say Hunter Pence, yeah.
Let's go eat. Before the game.
That guy, remember the silver fork that wrote, let's go eat on it? And he used to sit like out in right field. He lives in my neighborhood. He still has it in his front window. It's still up. The let's go eat fork.
We got to talk about that for a second, because that reminds me of something I saw over the weekend that is a peculiar, not version of fandom, but display of fandom.
Uh-huh.
It's really odd. I'll talk about that in 1 second. But apparently Akeem Spence, when he gets really jazzed up, when he's trying to get jazzed up for a game, he says very similar things to Brandon Graham. The motivation for defensive linemen is food. It's chicken sandwiches, spicy chicken sandwiches from Popeyes. Right.
Well, Brandon Graham is on the right side of history saying Popeyes and not Popeyes like you weirdos.
Okay. By the way, I totally pantsed you in your Crowns thing yesterday. I Googled it. I win.
Trey's wife's on my side.
Yeah. We were sitting around talking. I called the missus on there.
Uh-huh.
I was like, hey, babe, we got some crowns at the house? And she said, yeah, we got crowns at the house. I mean, what colors do you need?
Really?
I got a lot of crown support out there.
So you baited her with the terminology?
Just wanted to check.
I got to fess up.
What?
Jenna Cooney.
No.
She's a crown.
She's one of you people?
She's a crowns.
Yep, Jenna's she's a smart girl.
And she hates Jamie, so that's all she had to agree with him.
That's true.
That was bad.
Well, yeah. Jamie has tried to take her out on multiple occasions.
She's got some.
And by take her out,
him.
I mean like take her out. You know? Yeah. I don't be like, oh, take her out.
Yeah, not taking her out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Things got weird.
Just got weird for a second. I apologize, bad terminology. But all the people were in support that I saw.
Crowns.
Of me.
Crowns.
That would be.
Natalie's a crown person.
Oh, don't get me started. All right. Don't get me started on Natalie and her lexicon, if you will. But here's the deal. And she's a good friend of mine. I can say that. But here's the deal. So I'm watching all this stuff on Akeem Spence. And he is one of those guys also that is motivated by food on the football field. Just like Brandon Graham and getting the spicy chicken sandwich. It's all about Akeem Spence trying to get after it and going to eat. But I tell you that to tell you this. Basically, I feel like the defense of the Eagles will be able to contain the offense of the Falcons to the point of at least coming out with the victory. And I'm not saying it's going to be the Super Bowl where you have a quarterback throwing for 600 yards and an offense putting up 900 yards of total offense and they still come out on top. The Eagles do. But I'm saying you'll at least see moments in this game where the Eagles are able to do the very famous bend but not break. And that's what became famous so many times with Jim Johnson. I see more of that style of defense from Jim Schwartz in this game than I do in the other games that I've seen Jim Schwartz and his defense really scheme to get ready for the opponent. And here's what I mean to tell you here. And I got these numbers from our friend Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation.
Uh-huh.
Matt Ryan, when targeting Julio Jones over the last three games against Jim Schwartz and Jim Schwartz's defense in Philadelphia, Matt Ryan has a 56.9 completion percentage. He has only thrown for 405 yards on those 51 pass attempts, zero touchdowns, two interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 66.2. So if that's not bending but not breaking when it comes to Julio Jones' and Eagles defense over the last three games, I don't know what is. And that's still a pretty good defensive line they're putting in front of Matt Ryan on Sunday. It was a pretty decent defensive line that was in front of Matt Ryan on last Sunday when the Vikings were able to handle their business and also force two interceptions from Matt Ryan. And by the way, what, keep that defense off the board for 3.5 quarters of football?
Mm-hmm.
I think, look, they were on the road, whatever you want to say, opening week in Minnesota. But if the Vikings can put up those types of numbers, or really prevent Matt Ryan from putting up those types of numbers, well, then by all means, I think they should be ringing the dinner bell and getting after it on Sunday. They're going to get theirs. They are going to bend the field. But overall, when it comes down to it, I think in the red zone, the Eagles defense will step up and make sure that that is a bend and not a break. That's what I foresee coming up on Sunday.
Look, if the Avante Maddox of the world, the Rasul Douglases, if they can make some plays, I mean, you're going up against a lethal wide receiver group in Sanu, Ridley, and Jones. If they can come out making some plays, whether it's big hits, whether it's breakups, they could come out of this with a confidence level which is needed to make that next step mark that you talked about. I don't think their confidence level is awfully high right now. If they can come out of this game, make some plays, I think it goes to a next level. Then the expecting them to take the next step comes closer to reality in my head.
I would hope so, and I hope they're able to take that next step. But you got to figure, and Trey, look, I don't know if this got talked about in the locker room when you were there, but you got to figure when there's 1 week leading into a game, and look, this isn't a playoff game, it's the second week of the season. But you got to think that with all this talk going on, not just me, not just us questioning how good the Birds secondary can be, but you would figure that other people are talking about this in that locker room. Mm-hmm. Like, they realize the challenges in front of them. They have to, right?
Absolutely. They know exactly. I mean, when you go, you know, you watch Bombs Away, you know, against the Redskins, you're like, all right, you know, hey, guys, we can't have this. Because especially when you go up against a better team.
All right. Now, coming up, we're going to hear from Tim Jernigan. Both on his hunger to really get after the quarterback.
Uh-huh.
We're going to hear about his preference as to what time of day he wants to play a football game. Because remember, we got Sunday Night Football, prime time football going on Sunday. Uh-huh. We're going to have Fred Gidelli, the best sports producer in America.
I want to ask him what he would have done last night if he lost 30 of his 33 cameras.
The Thursday night.
That wouldn't have gone over too well.
Now, here's something that I'll say. You know, sometimes you ask a player about another player, and they're like, yeah, I don't want to get into it. That might be Fred. That might be Fred. Where he doesn't want to, like, throw another broadcast under the bus, so
that was weird last night that they lost all their cameras.
Oh, we have to ask.
Yeah.
What do you do in that situation?
Yeah.
And it's like, get your cell phone out, and we just start broadcasting. We start Skyping the game, basically. 610-632-0975. We'll hear from Tim Jernigan, and of course, the Timmy Shimmy coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Brisk fall air.
Oh yeah!
This is the only time. Like the thing with the pumpkins and all that stuff that everyone goes bonkers for and goes crazy for right now.
Addy was drinking pumpkin beers last night.
Ugh.
Yeah, I'm yuck on it too.
Hey, I don't like pumpkin.
Yeah, I'm not a big
pumpkin. Nah, me neither. Pumpkin pie, I like.
I like pumpkin seeds. because they don't taste anything like pumpkin.
Hmm.
You ever do that?
I don't think I've ever had pumpkin seeds.
Toasted pumpkin seeds. Yeah, people get into.
Oh, dude.
Never had them,
you put a little sea salt over top. You toast them for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like when you're a kid, you carve the pumpkin.
I know what they are.
Yeah, because you know what they're familiar with. You know what a pumpkin seed is?
It comes from the pumpkin.
It's a
very familiar with that.
It comes from plums. You take the pumpkin seed, you toast it with a little sea salt on it after you like carve the pumpkin when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, they're delicious.
Really?
I love them, right? But I feel like the whole pumpkin spice latte, whatever, the BS, right? I feel like all that has happened a lot earlier than it should have. Like, I feel like every year Christmas is earlier, right? I feel like I feel like that's the common thing around the holiday season. It's like, wait a minute, it's not even Halloween and there's Christmas decorations up, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like it wasn't even September yet and the pumpkins, the pumpkin flavor, everything were out.
Yeah, it's too early.
It's way too early. Chill in the air. Chill in the air. Pumpkin season.
It's like Rita's Winterize, for instance, will do the first day of spring, the free sample, whatever it might be.
And it'll be 50 degrees.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's like, all right, maybe wait for the first 75-degree day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a day like today would be the first day that I would roll out anything pumpkin anything. That's what I would do. If I ran the world, when I opened the door today, I think two things. Football and pumpkins. Football, if you're a football fan. Pumpkins, if you're one of those people, like those girls that are like headed to school today, getting the pumpkin spice lattes.
Is it the old Madden line? The football season doesn't start until there's the first frost on the pumpkin.
is that John
it's an
Madden?
It's an old NFL Films like line. I think it might have been Madden.
Okay, it wasn't John Facenda.
Nah, I think it was Madden.
All right. Well, whatever it might be, I know when that door opened today, I was bringing in the football season. So yesterday, Tim Jernigan addressed the media. Stud Muffin addressed the media. Uh-huh. And I hadn't heard this yet. But apparently, the dance that we saw interrupted on Sunday wasn't something that it was anything new. And one of the things that was funny was that Jim Schwartz actually brought it up in his press conference. Jim Schwartz got into the idea of Tim Jernigan liking to dance around just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we've seen Tim do it. We've certainly seen Stud Muffin. We have certainly seen Fletcher Cox do it as well. But if you listen to this from Jim Schwartz the other day, he even gives it a little bit of a name. And this is something I was unaware of. This was Jim Schwartz on Wednesday.
You know, it was a hurry-up situation, so you weren't able to get Timmy's shimmy, so to speak, after he makes his play. But that brings us energy. Anytime he's made a play, brings us energy on defense.
That was a little Timmy Shimmy.
I like it.
Did you hear
Timmy
that?
Shimmy.
I like it. Schwartzy coming up with a name for the dance.
What was it, the Icky Shuffle?
Yeah, it was.
You got the Timmy Shimmy now. So
I played golf with Icky one time.
I remember you telling
Did
me that.
Did you?
Yeah. And the guy was trying to get Icky to do the shuffle. And Icky looked at him like, hell no, I'm not doing the shuffle. In my mind, I'm like, please, Icky, don't do the shuffle, don't do the shuffle, don't do the shuffle. He's like, hell no, I'm not doing the shuffle.
Like, what are you, a shuffle man? No way, a shuffle man.
Not on a golf course.
$10,000, I'll do the shuffle.
That's exactly what he said.
Because didn't he do it, was it a Geico commercial?
Yeah,
he did the Icky shuffle for?
Yeah.
Where he was ordering lunch meat or something? Was that the one?
Right? Yeah, it was some lunch meat or something.
Yeah.
Well, I remember interviewing Jim Mora.
Playoffs?
Exactly. And, you know, we're teeing up some playoffs. And we figure, you know, he'll do it. He'll do the playoffs thing. Because he did it for a Coors Light commercial. Where they were talking about doing the playoffs and all that stuff. And he's like, playoff, right?
Yeah,
whole thing. So then we try, you know, the Eagles a playoff team. And the Eagles play. We teed it up like three or four times. And finally, like the fourth question about the playoffs, he goes, I'm not going to say it.
Come on,
I know you want me to.
Come on.
But I'm not going to say it. It's like, well, didn't you already make it part of your shtick, basically? So that's Jim Schwartz talking about the Timmy Shimmy. So this
gets the journey again.
So then, I believe it was Rob Kessler of NBC asked the question. He basically says, the Timmy Shimmy, is that the official name of your dance?
Timmy Shimmy? Have a name?
Nah, man. You know, go Schwartz. Wow.
never heard that before, did you?
No, I never heard that one, but I got to ask him about that.
That's a good laugh.
That's a good laugh. He belly laughs. Tim Jernigan has himself a lot of fun. I love that guy.
So when Stud Muffin walks up into the room with the ski mask on, and he tosses the shorts. Hey, so you name it Timmy Shimmy without even talking to me? I mean, what is this?
Well, wait. Is it that's how it's supposed to be?
Kick up in the door.
Somebody else names it?
Yes. You don't
You don't get to name your own dance?
No.
Why not?
Because you don't think you really spend time. I think the few people like Deion Sanders
friend dance.
Yeah, if you spend time choreographing it with yourself.
My own dance.
But isn't it like also giving yourself your own nickname?
That's a good point there.
Take that. No, but like, in all seriousness,
I have nothing for you.
It happens when somebody else names it, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't. Now, there are the rare people that can get away with that, and I think Deion is the perfect example. But when you see a guy like Tim Jernigan, you don't expect him to come out. Like, the guy didn't even want to call himself Stud Muffin. And I was like, no, that's your name. Like, now it's your name. Now, because you don't want it, it makes me want you want to call you that even more.
You just messed me up with the nickname.
But
I'm done.
Right? So his defensive coordinator basically gives it the name. And I think that's hysterical. So Tim Jernigan and Stud Muffin will embrace it just a little bit. But it's not going to be happening unless he gets to the quarterback. So here's what I've been alluding to all morning so far when it comes to Tim Jernigan getting after the quarterback. He says he wants to show off that skill set a little bit on Sunday.
I've always knew I could do it. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of, you know, being put in a position to do it. You know, it's hard to get pass rushing, you know, opportunities when you're not on the field on third down. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just got to make sure I'm ready. You know, you never know. Just like this situation popped up, you know, another one could pop up, you know, and I could be in that position, you know. So I just got to make sure I'm ready.
Now, the most sacks he's ever had in a season is 5. That season was in Baltimore. He had two separate 4-sack seasons in Baltimore. His best year, the Super Bowl year with the Eagles in terms of sacks, was only 2.5 in 2017. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't been that guy here. And, like, you look at 5 sacks for a defensive tackle, and you're like, all right, get after it, young man.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's known to be a run stopper.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, you're not going to be on, because they don't play that. We're going to stop the run on the way to the quarterback. So, you know, your responsibility on first and second down is this run? All right, then now I can get into my pass rush. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, you're already too late. But, I mean, just showing off how he worked in that when he got the sack against Washington, that was quite impressive. So I could see them putting him in more opportunities for him to do it.
And the other part of it is Fletcher Cox.
Uh-huh.
He's got Fletcher Cox playing next to him here in Philly. So he's getting double teamed.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.